Today's scripture lesson comes from Ephesians. Listen to Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For what it is, shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful now then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." Blessed be God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Holy God, may your word go out and satisfy our hungering souls. May it not return until it has fulfilled your purpose. Amen. Brian Conroy is responsible for this sermon. He loves the Star Child because he paid attention to the words and he realized he knows these people. Is that right, Brian?
That's right.
Every summer he asks for it as a sing-along selection, but it's a Christmas song, Brian. Don't be goofy. Well, for Christians, we celebrate Easter every Sunday. Thanksgiving is supposed to be every day, right? And I think having Christ come new into our lives happens every day too, if we just invite him. Who doesn't need light from the Christ child on the path of everyday life, every single day? So that's settled. Christmas is every day. Besides, no one knows exactly when the first Christmas really was. Europeans got to decide, so they picked northern midwinter, when the light started coming back into the coldest, darkest days. Well, guess what? Tomorrow is midwinter day in the southern hemisphere, where Shirley Irena Murray wrote this song. She's a Kiwi. She was born in New Zealand, and she lives there now. One other point I'd like to clear up before I go on. What does Mrs. Murray mean by Christmas coming for everyone alive? I tried to sign on to her blog, but I never got in, so I couldn't ask her. Did she mean that all humankind will finally convert to Christianity as we know it here at Highlands? Maybe, but when I say that, I mean everyone follows a path enlightened by love, and everyone gets the gift that makes them whole. In other words, God's kingdom comes to the world. Okay. Now, here are some principles underlying the idea of Christmas being every day. Everyone is a child of God. Every Christian is a messenger of the love of God through Christ Jesus. Christmas is a time for Christians to recommit to being those messengers. About some gift-giving ideas and re-gifting, for that matter, if you like that idea. Some gifts just multiply as they get passed around. Now let's see. We're told in Exodus that the rich kids and the poor kids are supposed to be treated the same. Everybody gets good gifts. Everybody gets judged. You're not supposed to play favorites. The poor aren't better because I can identify with them. The rich aren't better because I want to court their favor. Nothing like that. But some need toys and some need socks and underwear. So let the shut-in get a visit. Let that soccer mom who cut you off in traffic because of an overloaded schedule get an airmailed blessing personally monogrammed by you. Let the spoiled brat get some boundaries, some manners, so he'll know he's loved. Let the invisible person get some recognition. Let us be able to say, the star child knows your name, and so do I. Let anyone suffering injustice receive vindication wrapped up with a bow, whether they're rich or poor. Let everyone with a hand raised against her be given a feeling of safety, a kind voice, a gentle touch, a new day sung into being by the creative word of God. Let every kid feeling alone in the bleak midwinter of the mind hear an encouraging word that a new morning is being sung for them. The darkness will pass. Let that kid hear a word that could save his life. Let every victim of war or crime or illness or addiction have peace for his heart, peace for her mind, peace for his body. A flood of light brought by a new morning, the comfort of God's light to dispel the longest night. The best part is that you and I are the bearers of the gifts. We put money and time into the church and into organizations that promote compassion and stewardship. You are the visitor. You sent the card, made the phone call. You voice your opinion and vote such and such a way to get it done, whatever needs to be done to bring about the loving gift. Some of you know Alexander McCall Smith's number one ladies detective agency character, Mma Ramotswe. Her pastor tells her in one of her books, there is so much work for love to do. Isn't that a beautiful way to put it? Well, Christmas is here, so let's get busy. Now, if you don't know what to give someone, then you don't know enough of their story. Everybody has a story, even those annoying people holding up signs at intersections, the dry cleaner's clerk, the telemarketer, the door-to-door person. When you get a chance to hear someone's story, don't miss it. Some of them are fascinating. For example, a few years ago, Dorothy was the only Protestant living in Mullen Home over here. And I had the privilege of serving communion to her. In the process, I got to hear her story and other stories spun off of that. As a young mother, she had had an au pair named Gracie. Gracie and her sisters had been kicked out of the house, each in turn, as she reached the age of 16 to fend for herself. Up to that age, they ate their meals from groceries provided by their widowed father, but his food was locked in a separate cupboard, and the girls couldn't have any of it. Now, Gracie and her sisters were children of God, and we need to know about and seek out that element in the world, that element of our society, so that we can be God's voice and God's hands in the world for them. Yes, Gracie was a child of God. But, brothers and sisters, so was the dad. God bless him. What made his heart so hard? What caused him to be so insecure and so mean-spirited? Yeah, there's a lot of work for love to do. Gracie went to work for the Feeney family. She ate at the table with them, the same food they ate. By and by, Dorothy, wanting to do something nice for Gracie, bought her a pair of gloves. For 2 years, she slept with those gloves under her pillow. She treasured them. But I think what she cherished really was being made to feel part of the family, having her humanity recognized. Howard Buffett, son of Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world, told part of his story. He said, "Dad nurtured us and respected us and supported us, but he didn't throw cash at us. I couldn't even get a loan from him. I could never have asked him to bail me out of a fix. What he gave me was confidence in my capability that I would figure it out for myself." Well, later, Dad gave him $1 billion, but it was to all be given away to help others. That idea, that way of thinking about money, that was a gift too. We want always to be led by the star child to find ways of seeing and ways of being in life, ways of being in community, so that we spread God's love. It's an act of worship. The more stories we hear, the more ideas we have, and the more love we can do. So, what have we got so far as rules of etiquette for gift giving and gift receiving? Don't judge. Look inside people, hear their stories, and make their gift appropriate. Give without expectation of getting anything in return. God will take care of that. Give with open hands, cheerfully and unstintingly. Receive graciously and humbly. And when you get a gift, send a thank you. Amen.